You ready for Basecamp Fitness's best deal yet? 7 days for $7. That's right, 7 days for $7. It's time to double down on your fitness goals and snag this offer before it's gone. Call or text Basecamp Fitness at 913-232-9770 or go to basecampfitness.com to learn more.
The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels. We had up until 2 o'clock, one more hour to go on this Tuesday edition of the show. Thank you to Les Norman, breaking the norm. Great stuff from him as well, as always. Text says, the Danny Hurley interview about coaching and recruiting sounds very similar to Ben McCollum. Love Ben McCollum. Love Ben McCollum. I don't know if you know this, but text says, man, Billy Butler taking strays for no reason. That was earlier in the show we were talking about. You know, you don't have to be Alex Jordan in the left field, just don't be Billy Butler. Yeah. That's probably right. There's no reason for that. It was just the first one that came to mind when I'm thinking of a left fielder, you know. Okay, you don't have to be Alex Jordan. Just don't be Edward Olivares. You know, how about that? Edo, he's doing perfectly fine for the Pirates, okay? He's batting like 300. You know, good for him. Hope he has a successful season, you know?
Just be David DeJesus out there. That's all we want. Oh, sorry.
DeJesus. Yeah, can't say David DeJesus.
Ding, ding. His name is DeJesus.
Ding, ding.
You know, Denny.
Ding, ding.
DeJesus went to Rutgers, which is in Jersey, which is where Danny Hurley's from.
Ding, ding.
Thanks, Ryan. Back when they would do the radio together.
Yeah. That was always good. That was good.
That was always fun. So, yes, DeJesus. But, just don't be Edward Olivares. You don't have to be Alex Gordon, but play a representative left field. And I think that's what MJ Melendez is doing right now. 913-912-4810. We spent the first hour talking about how dominant UConn has been these last 2 years and how they've sort of separated themselves in the dominance and what it – not just back-to-back to where those Florida teams in 06-07 were really dominant, but also returning their starting – five. I mean, returning their team from 1 year to the next so they can win back-to-back. UConn replaced four of their top six players that played in the national championship last year and then go, and they are even more dominant this year than they were a year ago. Here's Danny Hurley after the game was over talking about college basketball and what UConn has done in the last, 25 years or so.
Yo, UConn's been running for the last 25, 30 years. UConn's been running college basketball. And I see all the former champs over there. And we've been running college basketball the last 30 years. Let's go.
I mean, men's and women's, they have. I mean, you want to talk about basketball school? You know, Kentucky's a basketball school. Kansas basketball school. UConn is the basketball school.
Yeah.
Men's and women's. Six national titles on the men's side, and I don't even know how many national titles on the women's side. You start to lose track just since 99, right? Since 99, 2000, since Jim Calhoun won his first one. I don't even know how many Gino Auriemma. 11?
Yes, actually. They have a record 11 NCAA Division I national championships and a women's record 4 in a row from 2013 to 2016.
When did the first one happen for Gino?
Let me pull it up.
Yeah, pull it up if you can. Because combining that with the six for UConn men's, like, they are the basketball school.
So Gino got there in 1985, 95, 2000, 2002.
So 95 was his first one? So since 1995, UConn men's and women's basketball has 17 national championships.
Come on, Mizzou.
Just
give me one.
One Final Four. Are you kidding me? What do you mean one? What do you mean one national title? What do you look at you being all spoiled over there, wanting a national title? I'll take a final. Win four games in the tournament one time. Now, of course, when they expand the tournament and you need an extra game, they'll win four just to get the Elite Eight. And you're like, son of a gun! That fourth one would have got them there, but that didn't happen. 17 national titles since 1995 at UConn. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable what they've done. They are the basketball school. They are absolutely a blue blood. There's no getting around it. There's no doubting it. There's no debating it. I don't care if somebody wants to debate it. I won't spend time doing that. I don't care what your definition of blue blood is. If your definition of blue blood does not include UConn, then change your definition of blue blood, because they are the premier college basketball program right now, men's and women's. The premier program. And yet again, they made the Final Four with their men and women for, I think, the fourth time in the last 15 years that the men and the women for UConn have both been at the Final Four at the same time. It's just simply you go to UConn and they play basketball. And I loved the, you know, Jim Calhoun told the story last year before UConn won their national championship, and we had him on at the Final Four. And he talked about Danny Hurley being frustrated about, you know, coaching at UConn and whether or not he was going to step down and stop being the coach at UConn. And Jim Calhoun essentially said, you know what, get your head out of your ass, get your bleep together. You're the bleeping coach at UConn. All right. Figure it out. You're the coach at UConn. And he did. And he's been really, really dominant. And the program's talked about, you know, in January of 2020 when Danny Hurley called a shot and said, you know, better get us now. Better get us now because we're coming. We're coming. And they absolutely have been. And they've been really dominant. Some of the things that we talked about, the dominance, back-to-back champions with wins all by double digits. This UConn team and then Kentucky in 1948 and 49. the only back-to-back champions winning every game. And UConn played eight more games. Kentucky teams winning all of their games by double digits. The largest margin of victory in tournament history with 23.3 points per game margin of victory. And the largest total point margin of 140, breaking the record set by Kentucky in 96 of 129. And Villanova with 124 and Duke at 123. So the previous record was 123, 124, 129. And then UConn was like, let's do 140. So, yeah. Tech says basketball existed for 100 years before they even had the sport. They can never be a blue blood. Yeah, they can. Oh, yeah, they're a blue blood. They're a blue blood. Change your definition then.
So, a billionaire that becomes a billionaire tomorrow is not a...
Nope.
Okay.
No, he's still a millionaire. It's 100 millionaire,
nope,
actually.
Nope.
Gotcha.
Because you have to be a billionaire in 1970 or 80. Because is that the definition of the blue blood? That you got to be successful in the 60s and 70s? Cool. How about this? You still call Indiana blue blood. I'll talk about UConn. And Indiana can leave the room. Indiana, feel free to exit anytime. Because you haven't won a championship in almost 40 years, but they're still put in the conversation of blue blood. Why?
They blew their money. It's oil money. They blew all their money. They're like, no, we're still here.
B-L-U-E?
Yeah, they're a
blue?
B-L-E-W blood. They're
okay.
Blue blood.
They're blue blood. I love that. They're a past blood, okay? They are no longer in the blood category, okay?
And you don't understand. I have a lot of family in Southern Indiana. This hurts me to say.
Good for them.
They are big Hoosiers. I grew up playing basketball. They have tattoos. I have family members with tattoos of a flaming basketball on their arm that says, "Who's your daddy?"
Well, that's their fault.
H-O-O-S-I-E-R, daddy. You know how much it pains me to say that they're no longer a blue blood? They're now a blue blood, B-L-E-W blood?
Yeah.
It hurts me, but it's true.
Almost 40 years ago.
I'm unbiased.
I mean, well, if you had to win a championship when there were eight teams in the tournament. If you didn't win a championship when there were eight teams in the tournament, then it doesn't matter the fact that you have six with 68 teams or 64. See, since they expanded the tournament to its current iteration of at least 64 play-in game, but then we look at the bracket where you got to win six games to win it. If you have your championships only with that, then you can't be a blue blood because you needed to win a championship or go to Final Fours when it took one win to get there.
Exactly. Yes. San Francisco blue blood. They won in 1948 and 49.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
I agree. I lost my train of thought, to be
honest. Yeah, way to go, Sterling.
That's my fault.
Way to go,
I had
Sterling.
To get in that San Fran dig.
Yeah, way to go. Bill Russell is like, yeah, thank you, Sterling. But at least Bill Russell's happy about that. And Todd Golden.
So we can't count the championships that happened before the expansion, but that's the only way you can be a blue blood. Am I following this right? From all
I guess
the people?
I don't know. I mean, to me, it's not really.
I feel like however you got it.
Weird. I said it's not worth debating, and then we're doing it.
we're all on the same side. We're just debating.
I know, right? We're all on the same side. Right. It's like we're debating, and it's like I don't know. I don't even care. Whatever the definition is.
Well, you do care
fine.
A little because we're talking about it.
Well,
yeah.
I mean. I care because I think they should be included in the blue blood. If somebody doesn't think that, then that's fine. Whatever. I should just move on.
Agree.
And you know, they can have that opinion. No big deal. What I do care about is the fact that Charles Barkley loves watching the eclipse. And we heard that last night. Clip number two here. And this was at halftime. And this was the fellas on the set. And talking about the blimp for Charles Barkley at his blimp, and also the eclipse.
I thought I was watching it, and I thought it was maybe the Chuck blimp that got in the way.
Hey, y'all, some of them losers standing outside watching that today.
They're not losers.
Yes, they are.
No, it doesn't happen often.
Hey, we've all seen darkness before. Stop it.
No, not in the daylight.
Come on, man.
I don't hate on the eclipse.
Come on, stop it. I saw losers standing watching your blimp. How about that? They were outside. Have you seen Chuck's blimp?
So you're not a fan. You're not a fan of it.
Well, I'm not going to sit outside like an idiot and wait on the darkness.
Did you not wait on your blimp?
I could have waited. It's going to be dark when we go outside.
Can I ask you a check? Did you ask your family to wait on your blimp outside?
I was trying to get my grandson to watch.
See, there it is. What are you talking about?
Hey, the eclipse going to happen again. I ain't going to ever have another blimp.
Boy, this was
a good thing.
This was a very worthwhile segment.
There you go. Waiting for sitting around like these losers, waiting for darkness. It's been dark before. It's going to be dark when we walk outside here.
I love to stop it. It's going to be dark outside. Stop it.
Stop it. I ain't ever going to have a blimp again. It's been dark before, waiting around for darkness.
Is there anything better than Ernie Johnson, Kenny, Charles, and Shaq when they get together?
It's really good. It's good. It's fun. And Ernie is the great maestro that goes along with that. But boy, we really accomplished a lot in this segment here. It's great. But were you all them losers watching the eclipse, waiting for darkness? I've seen darkness before. It's a great way to. I never thought about it like that. It's just a pretty cool phenomenon, right? My wife and I were talking about this yesterday, and we're like, we lived in Louisville in 2017 when it was completely dark here in St. Joe, where you went to St. Joe and it's full. Now we're in Kansas City where it's completely dark right around Louisville, where it was like a 10-minute drive north from Louisville to be where it's complete. It's like we missed it both times. Both times we were just in the different spot.
They know you're scared of the dark. They wanted to give you a little night light.
Yeah, I don't like ghosts. So if
is that correlation with the dark or something? Is that your thought process here?
I just don't like ghosts.
Well, who are you going to call then?
If the Ghostbusters were real, I would have them live at my house just in case. Well, I told my wife, if you want to move and sell our house, just let me know that you're hearing things in the basement, and we're out of there.
You're telling me the Ghostbusters aren't real? Are you kidding me right now?
I don't know. Ask Paul Rudd. It's another one coming out this summer, right?
She should have a little miss dress up as like the girl from The Ring.
Nope. I'm out. I am absolutely out. Oh,
diabolical.
I'm out. Kids in scary movies are the worst. It is
absolutely
the worst.
Do you think the kids get traumatized after that? Do you think the kids are sitting there like?
Do the kids go to the movies? Do they go to the premiere with like these scary R-rated? Because like, kids are in R-rated movies.
Like Pet Cemetery.
Yeah.
The kid going to the Pet Cemetery showing.
Yeah. Like that's always one that I think of. No fair. No,
if I were a kid and I was in a scary movie, I would be like
why can't
or
I go?
Or would it help you? Like if you were the actor in what's the one where Here Comes Johnny? you know. And
The Shining.
The Shining. Like, there's two kids, and that's creepy. But, like, when you're actually filming, it's probably not that creepy. So,
or The Exorcist or something like that, you know.
And you're like, well, no, this is obviously a movie, everyone. Like, it's like the six-year-old is telling the adults, like, why are you scared?
Here's how we did this special effect.
Yeah,
oh, here's how we
did that.
Oh, that's so... Hey, look, you look so much different without all that stuff and gooey ridiculousness on your face. That's weird. Oh, you're not, you know, taking an axe to, you know, the mannequin. That's really cool. Yeah, no, it's good to see you.
So maybe those kids are the most well-adjusted to scary movies.
Maybe.
Huh?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's never been my genre.
Yeah, I always heard child stars are the most well-adjusted people, so...
Okay, hear me out.
Typically.
Disney child stars, we've had some issues. Scary movie child stars, how much have we heard of?
Okay, wow. All right. Yeah. So, there's some. Jason Bateman's pretty well adjusted, right? Right? I mean, he was a child star that, you know, paid the rent back when he was working. Like, his family needed his job to pay. So, he might be one of the few that's like, is well adjusted, was a star since he was a child, and he was the moneymaker and the earner for the family that if he didn't work, they didn't have a house.
Well, there was one family with a man who needed to keep it all together. This is Arrested Development.
That's exactly right, yes. But there are plenty of other of the child stars. You are right about that. Let's take a time out. We'll come back, and we are going to get the bracket of sound. We're going to eliminate some teams. And then the champion in our bracket of sound, we'll do that next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We crowned a champion in college basketball last night. That means we crown a champion in the bracket of sound today. And to do that, we look at the teams that lost on Saturday night. And, of course, the team that lost last night. We know that, let me tell you about Alabama. Alabama lost on Saturday night to UConn. And Alabama was representing the Fat Bear Week region, which was the West. And with Alabama out, that means this sound is also out. Yes. And then Patrick's like, oh, it is an awful sound.
It's kind of like a baby, too.
It sounds like an old lady screaming. Rawr. Apparently there was stuff in there that I make weird noises. I didn't realize it at the time, but...
What did I just listen to, Jason?
That was a collection of a lot of just random weird noises that I happened to make from time to time that the selection committee included. But that was a 4-seed as well, so that wasn't supposed to be there. That was supposed to be eliminated early on, you know.
He's upset. I mean, it was a Cinderella story and...
Right, yeah, that was... I mean, it happens. It made it there. So that sound is out. Thankfully, I wish it was out a long time ago. On the other side, we had Purdue facing off against North Carolina State, and NC State was done. This is also a team that made a magical run, so it wasn't supposed to be there. But here's this sound that was connected to North Carolina State. It is eliminated.
My mom texted asking if you have a dead body in your house.
That's what I wondered.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing.
I mean,
I thought, did my wife kill some? Because I didn't. Because if there was a dead body in the house, I would know. I'm like, oh, no. Darn it. It's starting to seep. We had an outbreak of flies in our unfinished part of the basement. Cluster flies. I was trying to figure out what was going on. And that's where Josh's mom said, do you have a dead body in the house? That's why I was wondering if my wife did it. Because if we had a dead body, I would know if we did for me. I would know that. I'd be very aware.
Admit it, though. That's exactly how you would react.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's what somebody who's got a dead body in the house would say, is that they don't have a dead body in the house.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah, good point. We move on from that because I don't want to be arrested anytime soon. Last night, UConn knocked off Purdue. Man, if for nothing else, this sound winning it would have been great for Purdue to win. But Purdue lost, and that means this sound lost as well.
From the beginning of this case, folks, The government has been blitzing, and Xavier's pocket was collapsing. But today, Xavier stepped into the pressure. He took responsibility for his actions. He stood up in court, humble and repentant, and admitted what he had done. Now, if I know anything about Xavier, and if the Chiefs Kingdom knows anything about Chiefsaholic,
besides how to pronounce his name,
we know that he doesn't give up. We know that if he stumbled and he fell, he didn't let his knee touch the ground.
It's so bad.
And that's because he's capable of doing a great thing. And he knows that there's still hope. We still have a lot of work to do on his case,
yeah.
But Xavier wants everyone to know that he loves the Chiefs Kingdom.
Good for him.
He loves Kansas City.
Cool.
And he hopes that you'll rally to his support.
Nope.
Thank you and God bless.
And you too.
Did he expect people to hold up signs?
Yeah.
Like they're in a Chiefs game? We're rallying to his support.
And also, yeah, I'm not going to rally to his support. If you saw the judgment that came out yesterday, that in the civil case, he owes $10.8 million in damages to Peyton Garcia for inflicting bodily harm and then also the emotional distress. So we have fun with that, with him and his being a dumbass. But also there's real consequences when
from
it was
the beginning
like,
of this case, folks.
Victimless crimes. Well, no, Peyton Garcia, he awarded $11 million for him. So that's also somebody that's a part of this. But also, good God, man, just have a statement about what Xavier and Chiefsaholic and the case and him, you know, pleading guilty.
But Jason, his knee didn't touch the ground. Okay, when the pocket was collapsing.
Yeah, they were blitzing. They were
when he was getting surrounded at the banks, allegedly.
Yeah.
He allegedly ran away and
he didn't give up.
And he didn't give up.
That which is why he's in the position that he is. He did not give up. He then escaped and then was on the run because he refused to turn himself in. He was not going to give up.
And maybe his knee should have touched the ground because then he could have maybe, you know,
maybe avoided more time if he wasn't on the run. I have no idea. And if he knows anything about Xavier, it's not how to pronounce his name, because I think he used three different pronunciations there in that as well. So that sound is gone. Purdue was gone. UConn, back-to-back national champions, and UConn came out of the East, and it was the In My Swifty Era region, and the number one seed, considering what this past almost year has been like in Kansas City. It was this sound. Your national champion is this winner, this sound.
We got to talk about it.
Yeah, my personal life, that's not so personal.
Yeah, well.
I did this to myself, Jason. I know this.
Well, Trav, how does it feel that Taylor Swift has finally put you on the map?
I just thought it was awesome how everybody in the suite had nothing but great things to say about her. You know, the friends and family. She looked amazing. Everybody was talking about her in great light. And on top of that, the day went perfect for Chiefs fans, of course. We scripted all, ladies and gentlemen. But to see the slow motion chest bumps, to see the high fives with mom, to see how, you know, Chiefs Kingdom was all excited that she was there, that was absolutely hysterical. It was definitely a game I'll remember. That's for damn sure. And then we just slid off in the getaway car at the end.
Can I try one that's not about the Cowboys? Swifty to Swifty, Taylor Swift was in attendance to watch Travis Kelce's game with his mom in the box. Seems like they may be the new It couple. Where do you fall on that? Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, power couple in the NFL.
Well, I would say that Travis Kelce's had a lot of big catches in his career. This would be the biggest.
I mean, everybody's talking about it.
Everyone, literally everyone, even Bill Belichick. He hasn't talked much about me outside of, you know, game weeks that we've played, but he made sure to remind me that that's the best catch I've ever had in my life.
Dude, that was a great line by Bill.
Hilarious.
You know what? I've met her before. Adam, I set him up. I just leave you with it.
And then you got Coach Reed telling everybody he's Cupid. He's been manifesting this the whole time. He's the one that set us up.
Is there any truth to this?
I don't even know how to answer that. I know that he had met the Swift family before, so I don't know. He could have been in the background the whole time.
Dude, Coach Reed playing matchmaker?
Who knew Cupid was so big? shout out to Taylor for coming through and seeing me rock the stage.
What a ride that the Kansas City area went on from that morning when the news was breaking that Taylor Swift was going to be at the Bears game. Think about how long ago that feels, that Taylor Swift's going to be at the Bears game. And what is that? That was the Tuesday and Wednesday after the Bears game. That sound right there was Bill Belichick being asked about Taylor Swift being at the Bears game in the suite, and then Andy Reid being asked by Adam Teicher about meeting Taylor Swift and them setting it up. And then that Wednesday New Heights podcast of them talking about her being at the Bears game. And now they are the it couple. And then he had to buy a new house so they could have privacy. And eventually they'll be engaged, right?
Do you think other musicians are just total? I guess they're not dating, obviously, players, but, like, you know how bummed it would be if you're like Axl Rose and you're like, look at the album we put out. I don't get any of his attention.
Well, maybe you should date Travis Kelce.
89.
Why didn't he date Travis? Why didn't he date Mark Bavaro? You know, that was his fault. You know, it's had he done that, he would have got a lot more attention.
What a pull! What a pull, Mark Bavaro.
Yes, I mean, it would have been for Axl. Yeah. You know, I mean, yes, it would have been. They would have got a lot more attention had he done that. I think Axl got some attention.
You think so?
I think Axl Rose probably. Yeah. I think Guns N' Roses. I think they were
maybe a little bit.
They had some attention.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I think he probably did just fine.
I'm just picturing Dylan screaming, why is Def Leppard not getting enough attention?
Is that what Dylan's screaming right now?
Dylan's one of the biggest Def Leppard fans I know.
He just likes sugar.
On him.
Yes. In the name of love. So we also had our bracket challenge. Speaking of Dylan and the bracket challenge in our zone group. So you have the individual groups and in the group, and we'll have the prizes for the top three winners in our zone bracket of challenge, a specific group. But in our zone group, Dylan Michaels finished third of the 300 some odd brackets that were submitted in the group. He finished third, and he will get the third place prize, which is he's fired. First place gets a Cadillac, second place steak knives, and Dylan, I hate to inform you.
It was a good time, guys.
Yeah, absolutely, but we brought on Sterling and Jack where there's only so much room.
I knew the rules. When I signed up for the bracket challenge, I knew the prizes.
If you finish third, sorry. Any other place, you could finish fourth, anything. Last, you will keep your job. Third place, you get fired. Sorry about that.
I love the mission statement you guys have.
Yeah, what's that?
Last place is already occupied by Jason.
That's right. That's what I told people. Do not sign up if you're looking to finish last. All right? That's me. But here are our winners. In first place, winning our group, Tom and Jerry 24 with the bracket What is What bracket. He also finished top 10 in the overall of like the 4,000 brackets that were submitted. I think he had like 79% accuracy. He had 8 out of every 10 picks he got right. Phenomenal. Finishing second, Lake Hawk finished second in our specific group. Lake Hawk. Lake Hawk, one word. And finishing third, Tracy Tortmeyer finishing third in our bracket challenge at 810WHB.com. Unfortunately, just missing the cut, finishing fourth, was Cougar Magnet 69 with his bracket called Sweaty Ball 69. He finished fourth. So that is unfortunate. Just outside of the top three. So there you go. Tom and Jerry, Lake Hawk, and Tracy Tortmeyer. And really Dylan and then Tracy, but Dylan can't win, so everybody moves up one spot. So there you go. Sorry, Cougar Magnet. You're so close. So close. Maybe should be bracket magnet.
Big BYU guy, huh?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Assuming big BYU and Houston.
Big BYU and Houston fan, and was born in right before 1970. Born right in 1969.
Loved John Mellencamp, too. That's probably why it's Cougar.
That must be why.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Big John Mellencamp guy. That's the only thing I can think of, yes. So there you go. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, continue rolling. The Royals and Astros get set for a big series, at least from the Royals' perspective, a big series. And I do want to know
why it's been 24 hours since the report of, quote, Calipari is finalizing a deal with Arkansas. Why are we still waiting? I got my thoughts next. All right, we'll continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels heading up until 2 o'clock. We got the shift with Jack Johnson coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. A little best of at 6 o'clock after the program comes your way from 2 to 6. And then the Royals in action tonight. Cole Reagan's on the mound taking on Christian Javier. Already went a little heavy on Cole Reagan's over 5.5 strikeouts. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I figured by now Vegas would have adjusted, right? That they would get to the point of, you know, almost like just knee-jerk almost 6.5, 7.5. He's had 9 and he's had 7. Now, well, it's the Astros. A little better lineup. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, 5.5. I'll go ahead and take the over on that one. And maybe I lose and look like a dummy, and Vegas is so smart. And they are pretty smart. But
I believe in you. You're going to stick it to them.
That's right. It's about time. Stick it to the man. Stick it to Vegas. But there's one thing that people have wondered is when Jason will be able to go and beat Vegas. When Jason, people, you know what? Tout. I mean, come on. Follow. Don't fade. Follow. I'm about to stick it to Vegas with the huge amount of money I just placed on Cole Reagan's over 5.5. By huge amount of money, that's not a correct term. Huge amount of money is relative. Huge amount of money maybe to my son. It's huge amount. Dad, I got $5. Yeah, heavy. Come on, 2 units on Cole Reagan's. Let's go. Over 5.5. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show. Part of the conversation. I do have my questions for what's going on in college basketball that Dan Hurley, if you did not hear, go ahead and play this again because it is connected to our conversation around the college basketball opening that we think will happen at Kentucky. Dan Hurley, clip number 10. Dan Hurley, this was post game last night, and everybody got their questions in, which is the way to do it. Everybody gets their questions in about, you know, this team and how dominant they've been. And then the last question, because the person that's going to ask it typically lets them know, hey, I'll be last. I think this one was Dan Wolken that asked the question about, hey, there's an opening at Kentucky. And the last one asking the question. Here's that when Dan Hurley's response when asked about the opening at UK.
Conversations with anybody else that might have a job coming open tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that. Yeah.
We can maybe arrange a press conference for Mrs. Hurley in the morning. Congratulations, Coach.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she'll answer that question better than I can. Yeah. See?
You can she'll have a better chance of answering that than I will, or a better explanation. And apparently that explanation would have been somewhere along the line. Dan Hurley was asked after he got off the podium about that, and he said, well, we just went to Rhode Island, which I had to drag her to, and then Connecticut. At least I got her closer to New Jersey. I can't afford a divorce right now. I just started making money. Which I do love a couple of the first replies for that is, Kentucky will pay for the divorce. You're fine. Another one said, you got plenty of money. You can get a new wife. Like, they really want him to go to Lexington. They really want that to be the case. There was a delay in John Calipari and this contract and finalizing a contract. And I haven't seen the latest. Have they announced finally that this contract is done, that this contract is announced and he is signed, sealed, not yet delivered because they haven't had the opening press conference?
As of April 7th, 2024, 11:12 p.m. Eastern, what I am seeing is the contract is expected to be completed in the next 24 hours. Now, Jason, okay. Correct me if I'm wrong here.
Yep.
April 7th, 2024, 11:12 p.m. Eastern. We're past that 24 hours. It's April 9th.
Yeah. Yesterday, we thought, you know, the report came out that they were going to finalize, it was finalizing a contract. And it does have to be approved. Okay. That's fine. But my as it went on, and then last night, there's still nothing. It's like, okay, well, are they waiting for the national championship to be over so they don't get overshadowed by, oh, that's cool, that was news, we've seen that, we've talked about it for about 12 hours, let's move on, and now we're talking about UConn. Okay, well, if UConn wins, we talk about UConn for about 12 hours. Okay, now it's official. Oh, they're back in the news cycle again. Kentucky and has a new coach, needs a new coach, but really it's Arkansas and John Calipari. That's the news cycle. And my thought last night is he getting cold feet? Does he not actually want to go to Arkansas? And now there are reports that John Calipari was debating whether or not he actually wanted to go to Arkansas and gave Kentucky a chance to match the Arkansas offer and was starting to have second thoughts. Because yesterday he met with his players. And then typically, right after that, you would hear some players or something getting out of, yeah, John Calipari's definitely gone. But it was, they're finalizing the contract. He's going to meet with his players later this afternoon. This thing is done, done, and done. But then there's also reports from Matt Norlander today that say, latest on John Calipari, he still, as of this moment, has not had any contact with Kentucky AD Mitch Barnhart. He says, it seems he's waiting on approval on his Arkansas contract, any hour now, before finalizing the divorce with Kentucky. The expectation is that will happen later today. So this sort of balancing of, okay, did he want Kentucky to match? Was he having second thoughts about leaving Lexington to go to Fayetteville? But he also hasn't even had contact with Mitch Barnhart, which shows you the dog and pony show they did when they put out the video of, guys, we are good. I mean, we do this every year. We talk about what's going on. The mission is to get back to work. And Mitch Barnhart just sitting there, you know, stone-faced, stoic, cold, no reaction whatsoever as Cal continued to do his political speech, his senatorial running for re-election speech about what the future of Kentucky is. And it's like, oh, yeah, he's talking with Arkansas. They're finalizing a deal, and he hasn't even informed Mitch Barnhart, which, by the way, according to his contract, he is contractually obligated to tell the AD that he is talking with another university. And he hasn't done that yet. So there will be lawyers involved in this if I'm Kentucky. Oh, yeah, I'll take a little money back from Cal. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, you didn't. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and sue for some of that money since you never told us you were finalizing a contract with him. And by the time you came to us to tell us that, it was already too far down the line. We couldn't match. And your contract says you have to let us know before you start doing that.
See the Minnesota Timberwolves drama that's going on right now.
Yeah.
Kind of the similar thing where there was a little thing in the contract that they broke and the, you know, I don't want to call, obviously Kentucky is the billionaire, but they're the entity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to get any type of money they can get back at any cost. So lawyers to them really aren't that big as far as it goes with maybe a coach trying to get out of it.
So according to Dick Gabriel there in Lexington said, amid Arkansas's pursuit of the head coach, there was word, not specifically from Calipari, but word to Mitch Barnhart in Kentucky of, this is what Arkansas is doing. Here's what it'll take to keep me. And Mitch Barnhart said, no, thank you. They did want to move on from him. I'm convinced of that.
Sure.
But they weighed the option of paying him the $30 million. Again, I broke that down. It's not $30 million that they would have owed him. It's monthly installments for the life of his contract, which is six more years. They would have owed him that equal installments monthly, so roughly like $6 million per year, about that. And there's an offset clause. He clearly wants to still coach. He's going to Arkansas. Imagine if they fired him, Arkansas pays him $8 million. You're paying Calipari nothing if you would have fired him because of the offset language. Somebody was going to hire John Calipari, which is, as we've seen, that Arkansas has done that. But this doesn't seem like it's as much of a, I'm out of here, Arkansas. They are calling me. and I'm gone. I got way more opportunity to go there. Time to reset the shot clock. I'm leaving Lexington, done with the fishbowl and all of the pressures and the star sort of burned out here. I've aged 50 years in these 10 years I've been here. It's time. I've aged like a president in my time here as the coach of Kentucky. I'm going to Arkansas. Certainly seems like if Kentucky would have matched, he was going back to Kentucky. So was this a play for more money that blew up in his face that Kentucky's like, oh, cool, yep, go right ahead. Sorry. Because if it is, then that was a misstep. Frank Haith at Missouri.
Sure.
Hey, you know, Tulsa's offering me this much. Do you need our plane to get there?
But isn't Calipari getting $1 million or so less per year AAV? I know I understand,
but he's getting incentives,
security, and
but
all
there's
that
incentives involved in it, and maybe from his standpoint would be if I've got all this NIL money coming in, I'm going to hit those incentives and I'm going to make more money, plus getting more NIL money to work with, so I'll be in a better spot.
I have a hard time thinking that he would, after getting bounced by Oakland, saying you want to give me a new contract, UK. I have. That's far-fetched to me.
Right, no. I mean, you're not going to give him a new contract. You're done. You're ready to move on. It would have been a revolt. It's weird, like the different view. Arkansas celebrating. Oh, my God, we're getting John Calipari. There would have been a revolt with UK fans if they'd have said, we're bringing back John Calipari with a new contract. You had people picketing. I mean, the money would stop flowing in for the NIL. It's just a matter of, one person's trash is another man's treasure, right? And Arkansas is loving it, and Kentucky's loving it. Both sides. It's not often you see a, quote, home run hire, that the team that's losing that home run hire is also viewing this as a home run deal. It's very rare. Program comes up next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.